Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9. We're here at that conference having a little fireside chat, bud. Isn't this great?
This is cool. This is I love the setup you've got here.
There's a fly that like literally comes around. I'm just like...
It's very... You've hired extras. It's very authentic.
They must have like released them and to fly into my head or something. It's because I'm just like...
You know, I got the thing. Flies love me. You got the same problem I do. I'm constantly doing this when I'm outside because they just bother me. It's because we're so sweet.
I think it's because they like us. It's true.
It is. It's our personality.
Yeah, we're very, very, very lovable to
flies.
To flies and bugs. Yeah. So tell us who you are. James Bender, obviously, but
right.
What do you do?
So I'm James Bender. I am a consultant out of Columbus, Ohio. I'm the application development practice lead for a company called ICC, mm-hmm. which means I help write a lot of applications for companies. I'm primarily a .NET guy myself, but I've been exploring a lot of things with JavaScript and Angular. Really just to kind of find the best fit for a lot of our company or clients and what they need to do and what their needs are.
But you're also an MVP, a Microsoft MVP.
I'm also an MVP, a .NET MVP, and I am an ASP.NET Insider as
Fantastic.
Well.
So awesome, it's good to have you. So
thank you.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I know Dave Giard interviewed you just recently, which is going to be on Channel 9 soon.
Yep.
But I wanted to get more into sort of the technical aspects of Angular. I told you,
it's
fantastic. Tell us why one would choose Angular. And what are some of the pitfalls I would have as a C# developer jumping into it?
Well, I think Angular for me, there's a lot of competing JavaScript frameworks out there, and I've looked at all of them. I'm still looking at other ones. I know React is coming out that's very popular. There's still a lot of people using Backbone and Knockout. For me, Angular, quite honestly, as a consultant, Angular was easier for me to sell. Knockout and Backbone had some, at least in our market, had some issues early on, some high-profile failures mm-hmm. in the Columbus market where I'm from. So those were problematic. Angular seemed to be very popular. It became very popular with developers, and so they helped push it. But also with the backing of Google, there's a lot of trust factor there from the companies that I work with. And so when I go to a company now and I say, hey, we want to use Angular, they don't even miss a beat. They're like, okay, that's fine, we get it. Whereas with some of these other frameworks, even React, even though it's got Facebook and Instagram behind it, we get a lot of pushback because it's new and there's a perception, you know, there's a whole joke, you have a sign in the office, however many days since the last JavaScript framework. And to a certain extent, that's true. And, you know, stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. Mm-hmm. We sometimes can come off as a little flaky mm-hmm. and kind of like we're chasing the shiny object. And while React has got a lot going for it, and I'm still exploring React myself. Mm-hmm. A year from now, we may be talking about my love for React.
Sure, sure.
But it's easier right now for me to sell Angular because it's kind of established. It's kind of become the JavaScript framework of choice. There's been a lot of high-profile successes, mm-hmm. and it's kind of easier to sell. And as far as technology, I really kind of like the Angular story about how you have your controllers and everything separated out. And I'm a big TDD guy, and I like the testability aspect of it as well. I think that really appeals to me, especially on large projects. We have a client who has... I mean, you talk about big data. When you hear your client use the phrase, it's just a few terabytes. You know you have a big client data. We have a very complicated front-end application running for a client who has a lot of big data. And I like the testing story around that because if there were no tests around this application, I'd be terrified to change anything.
Sure.
And so that's another reason I really like Angular. And it's just really changed the way I write my software.
So Angular is more of a client-side sort of SPA framework, is that right?
Yeah, it's referred to sometimes as a SPA framework. I think a more correct term would probably be a client-side MVC framework.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, we're used to the conventional MVC, ASP.NET MVC, where you have the controller and the model on the server, mm-hmm. and it all renders down to a view on the client. Angular is a little bit different in that you have the most common way of working with it, which is how I tend to work with it. I usually have a backend, which is some sort of REST service. Some people use Node. Some people use Web API. We kind of have a mix where I'm at. And what you do is you have your view, which is basically HTML. Then in JavaScript, you have controllers, which basically control how the page interacts, how the data gets added to the page, and talks to a lot of these backend REST-based services, very similar to an AJAX call. In fact, since starting in the browser, it is an AJAX call. Mm-hmm. It looks a little different from what some people would, if you've done AJAX or jQuery. It looks a little different, but it essentially works the same way. But you get your data back, and you basically, it's dynamic HTML at that point, binding to a model, and you populate the page. Contrary to what people believe, SPA does not mean you take your whole app and put it in one HTML file. I've seen people try to do that. That's not what that means.
Okay.
It's creating more of an experience for the client where you have different views, and it's transitioning. So you don't have that experience of the full page post back, and the perception is it's much faster because you're just doing these AJAX calls, and the page just magically refreshes. It may not actually be any faster if you get your tools and measure it in milliseconds, but it's a better user experience because it feels smoother, it feels faster, and they enjoy it more.
So single page application doesn't necessarily refer to the actual architecture of the layout, it refers to the feeling.
The feeling, yeah, because you never see, from the user's perspective, they never really leave the page. For instance, what Angular does is it uses this concept of a view. And you'll have your main index page, and there'll be a section where you put your view. And your view is basically different HTML files they can substitute in based on what your client-side route is. You've seen probably a lot in these new sites you've been to, routes with a hash in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what's happening. It's doing what's called client-side routing, where you're still in that main page, but it's putting a different view inside of that main page, so the data inside changes.
So yeah, because one of the worries that I've always had is like back button problems in those types of applications. Does the hash on the actual
it
link
works,
help?
Well, you still have to worry about the back button, because what it'll do is it'll take you back to the previous view. So if you have issues where if you're doing the back button, someone's going to repost like a form. Like if you're doing a form, it has a post action. You still run that risk. Now with things like Angular and single page application, what I'm finding is I'm doing a lot less of that kind of development, where I'm not as concerned about the back button, because the way I work with Angular, I'm not really doing a form post from the page. What's happening is I'm taking that data, I'm still doing an HTML form, but instead of tying it to an action on a URL, I tie it to an action on my JavaScript controller, which then is responsible for doing the post or the get.
I see.
And at that point, if they've hit the back button, I can kind of have some logic in there that says, wait a minute, I've seen this before. Do I really want to replay this post? I don't. So I don't get that dialog box on the browser
that
says,
do you want to resubmit?
Yeah, hey, this is a post. Are you sure you want to resubmit it? I can kind of circumvent that. So what I'm finding is you still have to be conscious of it, but the style it kind of pushes you towards makes it less of an issue.
Got it.
And what I'm finding, this is the reason I really like moving to Angular is, and you and I have talked for a few years about F#. Mm-hmm. I think as developers, we get into these habits, and a lot of them are based on the technologies we work with. And I think every couple years, we should take our style or our technique, whatever you want to call it, we need to break it down and rebuild it. And I like to do that around, I did it with F#, and it really informed the way I wrote my C#. In fact, a certain person I know has a really great functional C# talk, which helps along with that as well. I think his name is Seth.
Guilty.
Yeah. Oh, it's him.
Guilty.
And I think JavaScript's doing the same way, because there's a lot of similarities to C#. You can do objects. If you would do something like TypeScript, it's very close to C#. Uh-huh. But I'm finding it's also changing the way I think about how I write my C#. So it's definitely been a good thing overall. And I think and JavaScript's great, because no matter if you're .NET, PHP, Ruby, Java, it's the one thing it's kind of our common ground.
Sure.
We can all agree we hate JavaScript. No, I'm just kidding. we all know JavaScript to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And I think JavaScript's gotten a lot better in the past couple of years. We've acknowledged, we had a problem with JavaScript before where we thought we didn't like JavaScript, and we finally have acknowledged, JavaScript's got some ugliness, but it's got a lot of good stuff to it. As long as we focus on the good stuff, it's a very powerful, it's a great language to develop. Sure. I'm really enjoying it.
So let's talk specifically about how Angular works internally, because I know I've heard the term Angular directives, I know there's controllers,
yep.
I feel like directives are somewhere in the view and controllers are somewhere over here. Can you talk about the wording or the nomenclature and then help us with that?
Sure, and not to get into too much detail, but the way it basically works, I talked about controllers, those are kind of the brain of your application, and it's kind of a little bit of a mind shift from MVC on .NET, where at least my philosophy has always been thin controllers, very small controllers. I really just want them to be traffic cops that call a model and maybe do a redirect to make sure I'm in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
In Angular, your controller is really kind of your glue, and you have what's called the scope, which is kind of your glue between, it does the bidirectional bounding between your view and your controller.
Okay.
So usually what you're doing in your controller is you're doing your business logic there, your gets and your sets, and you're using that scope to kind of bind back and forth between the view, and you're doing redirects from there as well if you need to. You have services too. They're called services in Angular, but they're not really what we would think of as when we think of services. When we're building .NET applications, we don't want to put a lot of business logic in a controller or a repository. We want to put it out somewhere else. And it's the same with Angular. You don't want to embed your business logic too tightly in your controller, because you want to be able to reuse that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So Angular has this concept of services, which we would really think of as business objects. But you can create those kind of set off from the controller, and you can consume them, and that's where you want your reusable business logic.
I see.
Then you have directives, which are kind of more like your user controls.
I see.
Say I have an address, I have an address panel with address 1, address 2, city, state, zip, that I'm repeating over and over again, and I have some business logic. Well, instead of typing that HTML and that JavaScript over and over again, I can create what's called a directive that will basically becomes almost like an HTML tag. I can put it in my page, this is my directive, and it'll render out as my address control. It'll also add that JavaScript functionality for any validation I need. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other things beyond directives there, but they are a very powerful way of kind of creating these composable things you can do to build your web application. Now, there's another term out there, web components, which you've probably heard of. That's more kind of linked with React. They're not web components. They're really just kind of, if I had to...
Injectors, I guess?
Yeah, if I had to draw an analogy, they're really almost more kind of like macros, but macros on super steroids.
Got it.
But they really make the development a lot faster, too, especially if you have a lot of repetitive things. We do a lot of work with banks and insurance companies. You have several different fields. You have the same, or several different forms. You have the same fields on every form.
Got it.
It's great for things like that. So
let's talk about the difficult thing now. Mm-hmm. Angular 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
And I want to start something new, and I'm excited about Angular, but I have some apprehension that Angular 2 is different.
It's very different.
So what's the, right. where's the, how do, what do I do?
So this is kind of what we're telling our clients. And the Angular 2 story is, it's not completely formed yet. Mm-hmm. They're still working on it. And they've, you know, remember last year was that infamous announcement at NG Europe. That is a good, you don't let engineers do announcements like that. Yeah. That's a good example of why. And we're backpedaling on that. It is going to be radically different. They're going more kind of what React is doing.
I see.
So will it be compatible with Angular 1? Will there be an upgrade path? I don't know. I'm hearing conflicting things. But what I'm telling my clients is when Angular 2 launches, it doesn't mean Angular 1 goes away. Mm-hmm. You will still be able to use it. It's open source. You can fork it. You can do whatever you need to do. I think it will still be maintained to a certain degree because there's a lot of investment in there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of users.
Yeah, and you don't want to burn that goodwill.
Yeah,
and they certainly don't as well. We're still evaluating Angular 2. We haven't gotten to a point where we're ready to tell clients to start looking at it in terms of when you start building new stuff.
It's not even baked yet all the way, is it?
It isn't, but the scary thing is we know people who are already building production sites in it. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a good idea. It's your site, but it's not what I would do.
Yeah, so
there's that. But and then they're using leveraging TypeScript, which a lot of people are liking as well, because that gives you a lot of some safety with types and things like that. My philosophy on Angular 2 right now is kind of wait and see. I want to see it fleshed out a little. I want to see it a little more firm.
Sure.
I'm kind of keeping my finger on the pulse a little bit. Now, given that I haven't looked at it for a couple weeks, and I know there have been some things that have happened, and I'm not really up to date on them. But right now, we're continuing for clients working in Angular 1 because it's still a great framework, mm-hmm. and it's not going to go away. And yes, Angular 2, I mean, you can almost say they should change the name and make it something completely different.
Yeah.
It's that different. But
you should just call it Wrangular.
Yeah, Bangular, because B is the next letter.
FYI, I'm just
that one's for free, Google.
Yeah, that was free. Take it. Alphabet.
Take it.
Alphabet.
There you go. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
By the way, and not to make Angular is a Google product, but
yes.
Microsoft is collaborating with them because they're using TypeScript to write Angular 2. And so we think it's great.
And there's great support for Angular in Visual Studio 2015.
Absolutely.
They've been using Gulp and Grunt and a lot of those other tools to kind of really bring the Angular experience into .NET. And I'm liking it I'm loving that because my developers now who are .NET guys are a little more, this Angular thing's weird and it's all guys with Macs and hippies doing this stuff. And now that it's in Visual Studio, for them, their mindset is, okay, well, this is maybe a little more in line with what Microsoft wants to do.
Right.
And to Microsoft's credit, they're seeing how the industry's forming and they're saying, we believe in this and we think it's great. And to your guys' credit, you want us to have the best tools to do our job.
Yeah.
So
we're excited to do that. And Mr. Bender, thanks for your help.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
It's good to see you, my friend. It's been a while.
It has. I've been, we've kind of been in different parts of the world. So
here we are.
Now,
it was good to have a little fireside chat.
Thank you. Got a nice burn going
here. Yeah, thank you. We're talking about Angular. Thanks for watching. We're here at that conference in Wisconsin Dells, and we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.